Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
I just want to say, you know I'm discombobulated. You're doing it on purpose now. Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I am USA Today bestselling author Jose.
And we're best friends, although I feel like I haven't seen you in weeks. I know it's been more like 10 days, but, you know, I miss you.
The last time was when we were having pizza and I started not feeling
great. Yes, and you had to bolt, so that was an aborted visit.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one.
but we've got a few short letters today.
Yeah.
I thought we'd start with those, so why don't I start?
Sure.
Since you're discombobulated. Hello, ladies. My sister told me about your podcast, Crappy Friends, and I'm really enjoying it. I just finished listening to episode 149, Circle Jerk, in which you discussed two situations. In the first, a woman had been ghosted by her best friend. In the second, a friend had become a bore. Both these stories hit home with me as I recently ghosted a childhood friend who has become a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what do you do about a friend who refuses to be ghosted? When we were kids, Penny, not her real name, practically lived at my house. She called my parents mom and dad. I have fond memories of our early friendship, but we've always been very different people. Even back then, all the togetherness was too much for me at times. I'm a private person. She shares way too much. I need my space. She's clingy. She's not a bad person or anything, but she has a tendency to smother people. Many times over the years, I pushed her away, but she'd come back like a boomerang. I've come to dread Penny's calls. When she gets me on the phone, she likes to talk for hours, and it's always the same conversation, sometimes verbatim. It's hard to end the call without being rude. She'll talk about her divorce, how she's alienated from her kids, medical problems, hers and others, funerals, jobs, financial woes, etc. The litany goes on and on. Also, Penny spends what I consider to be an unhealthy amount of time on social media. She's obsessed with Facebook and insists that I join too so I can be more available to her. She says things like, ask your kids to help you set up an account. I should mention I'm an IT professional and know my way around computers and the internet. I've explained to her many times that I'm not on social media by choice, but she brings it up continually. So sometimes when I see a call come in from her, I won't answer the phone. Several times she's left messages with hostile undertones that I didn't respond to. Last spring, she called and left a message saying she had cancer. Of course, I called her back right away, only to find out she didn't have cancer, but was rather scheduled for some standard type cancer screening. I felt manipulated and ended the call prematurely. I wasn't mean. We chatted for about 5 to 10 minutes, but that was it. I could tell she wasn't happy about it. She left me a woeful message over the summer that I didn't reply to. Penny called me again on Thanksgiving. My kids were visiting from out of town and I didn't answer the phone, but I felt bad and called her back 5 minutes later. She didn't pick up. That's when I decided I wouldn't speak to her again. I've blocked her now, so I don't see when she calls, but she can still leave messages, and I've gotten a few unhappy sounding ones since then, which I've ignored. Ghosting someone does not make you, necessarily, a crappy friend. When ghosting is brought on by the actions of the person being ghosted, it can be kinder than the alternative, which is to tell her point blank why you don't want to be friends anymore. Signed, the Adios Amiga. What are your thoughts, Joss?
Okay, so it sounds like she's done all she can do in terms of, you know, our normal advice. You know, don't take the call so quickly. Don't have to pick up for every call. You know, calm down on social media. This woman doesn't even want to be on social media and has told her friend this. So it looks like she's done all that she can do. Is she asking us for advice? Because it seems like just by blocking her, she's done.
I think she feels that ghosting is the kinder alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're probably right, Amiga. She doesn't want to hear that you don't want to be friends with her for these reasons. And if she said them, I think you'd be, if you said them, I think you'd be in an endless conversation where she tries to deny that what you're saying is true.
Agreed.
I do think that sometimes you just have to ghost, and it's not super kind, but it's sometimes necessary.
Yeah. And I do think she's done all that she can do. I don't want to be on social media. You know, she's tried her best to give this woman clues and even say things, you know, kind of out in the open. And I don't know that this woman wants to hear her. The only thing I can think of that she could do, if she wanted to, she seems like she's handled it, is say to this woman, because it sounds like this woman could use a therapist.
Yeah.
Your problems are a bit above my pay grade. And have you considered talking to a therapist about this? This is something that would help you more and, you know, give you more time for your problems than I can do right now. You could try that. But she sounds, this woman sounds like she doesn't want to hear you about anything. She only wants you to be there to listen and not even to talk, really. Just listen.
Right. And, you know, I have a friend, too, who tells the same things every phone call. We are long distance friends. And it's hard, you know, because we go over the same ground. And I recently suggested that she see a therapist, that she was not done kind of exploring what essentially what she wanted her life to look like. And she didn't want to hear it. You know, she really just wanted to have an audience. And sometimes you can do that. Sometimes the friendship is worth that. Sometimes it's a bad period of time where the friend needs to talk and talk it out. But if it never ends, like it seems like it's never ending with Penny, and she's so deliberately obtuse about the hints and boundaries and politeness that you're requesting, yeah, what you gonna do?
What are you going to do? I mean, to me, blocking was the last resort. You've done it. So I don't know what else there is to say.
I mean, you can always, if you feel the need, you can always send her a card that says, I'll always cherish memories from our childhood together. And I wish you the best. I just don't think we have that much in common anymore.
Right.
I don't have the amount of time or energy to give to our friendship that you do.
Yeah.
All the best, with love, amiga. That's the only thing I can think of. You know, I agree that, you know, it's not always unkind to ghost. I wish that there were people who would stop and listen and absorb. But if they won't, you can't force them to.
No.
They ask them to be a different person.
Yeah, that's true.
So we wish you the best, and it sounds like it's going exactly as you thought it would, which is, you know, you're having a lot less contact, you're less stressed, and she's not getting the hint. That's to no one's surprise.
Right. And I will say that her pretending to have cancer to get your attention would have been a deal breaker for me. Yeah. Also. Yeah. Also,
that would
be enough to break the friendship right there.
That's a line in the sand that one should never cross.
No.
To pretend that you are sick to get attention is horrifying.
Yeah.
So I don't think your life is any worse. Adios, amiga. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes.
We have another letter, Jess. We're actually like in a bang, bang, bang mood, aren't we?
Let's do it. Let's bang it all out. And when we say bang, we're not talking about sex. We're talking about, I know people used to use bang and say bang for sex, but that's not what we're talking about here.
We are not talking about sex at this time.
Right. Okay. I can read this letter.
We'll open for later.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I can read this letter if you would like.
Please.
I will do it. That can offer advice on friendships, and I'm so glad I came across Crappy Friends. I've been grappling with one particular friendship for a while that became really toxic at one point. It's a little better now, but I can't seem to shake off how she's made me feel over the years. I apologize for the length of this email. It's quite short.
Oh, yeah.
We're both in our early 30s and have been friends since high school. She moved to New York City a few years before I did, but once I moved here is when the issues of codependency and what I feel to be a degree of enmeshment began to arise. At the time, she was incredibly unhappy with her dating life and definitely projected her unhappiness onto me. She would get passive aggressive if I didn't answer texts right away, even when she knew I was busy. We were both into Snapchat and SnapMap then, and anytime I was out and hadn't told her where I was going, she'd screenshot my location and ask me where I was and who I was with. Oh,
that's called stalking.
It sure is. Once I was on a date not too far from her neighborhood, and she texted me something along the lines of, "Wow, you're near my apartment and you're not even going to try and see me. Some friend you are." Then she said she wanted to die.
Oh, no guilt tripping there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she finally met a guy later that year and our friendship got better because she was happy. But shortly before then, it got to the point where my cousin told me that I needed to reconsider my friendship with her. That's when I realized how bad it had gotten. She and her ex broke up a year and a half later, and then once he moved away, she became very unhappy again. Lots of trauma dumping, texting me during the workday and saying, "I wish you cared about me," when I wasn't able to answer right away, and basically using me as an emotional crutch. I had gotten to the point where I needed to branch out and meet other people because I always felt so drained after seeing her. So early last year, I joined a run club and also joined a Facebook group to meet friends. I'm happy to say that through both of these avenues, I met two groups of incredible women that I'm lucky to call friends. Jay Shetty once posted something to his Instagram that said, you will never really see how toxic someone is until you breathe fresher air. And that's exactly how I feel after meeting all these new people. Of course, my friend was not happy that I made new friends. She specifically told me that she didn't like all these new people I was hanging out with and accused me of not making enough time for her, which wasn't the case. We still texted every day and saw each other regularly, but she was definitely annoyed that there had been one or two weekends where I had other plans and couldn't hang out. She would make comments about me hating her and made me feel like a bad friend to her for making new friends. So I started to occasionally invite her to hang out with one of the groups. She's grown to like these girls a lot, and they like her too. And now I feel bad when I don't invite her to things we plan. I really just don't want to, and I really want to keep some distance there because for once in my life, I just want to have my own life, a part that she doesn't always get involved in. She always has to know everything about every aspect of my life. She's always looking over my shoulder when I'm on the phone, grills me about my friends and their lives, went through a phase where she always asked me what I was having for dinner to see if I was going out that night or not. Long story, but that was definitely the intention behind it. I just feel guilty about not wanting to invite her to hang out with these friends because aside from me, she only has two other friends in the city and she doesn't see them a lot. So she relies heavily on me for her social life. There are also other things I should mention too that make hanging out with her infuriating sometimes. She often picks apart my appearance and by pointing out my gray hairs in a very, "Oh my God, you have a gray hair, you have to do something about it" way. Telling me that I need to get my nails done if they're chipped, and she once told me I needed to get my chin waxed. Basically, I feel like a bad person for intentionally excluding her from plans with my other friends, but I just can't shake how she's made me feel over the years. I feel like it's better for my mental health and my friendship with her to keep that separation, and she doesn't invite me to hang out with her friends when she sees them, so I'm not sure why I have to invite her to hang out with mine all the time. How do I cope with this guilt? She basically has driven me away with her behavior and her passive aggressiveness when I'm not able to hang out when she wants to hang out makes me want to distance myself from her even more. Sincerely, feeling like the crappy friend, even though I am not. You are not the crappy friend.
My God. You know, you're a crappy friend to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Here, okay. So yeah. Really, for the love of God, ditch her.
Oh my God. She's so toxic. What are you doing?
A stalker, needy, just messed up person.
Yeah.
And she brings nothing positive to your life.
No.
That's not friendship, honey.
No, no.
That's abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff that she's done, you know, she's stalking you. She's punishing you for hanging out without her. She's using you as an unpaid therapist. Mm. And I'm sure she does nothing that you suggest. She doesn't have other friends. Yeah, no surprise there.
And then she's super critical of you. Like, why does she get to tell you that you need to do something about your gray hair?
And, you know, unfortunately, you did invite her into this new group, but you don't continue not including her.
Yeah.
If she has made friends with a couple of those women.
Yeah.
And it's on her
to
reach out to them.
Sure and, is.
You know, Joss and I have had this experience, too, in a group dynamic where, you know, one friend expects to always be included, but never does any inviting or planning or suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
But gets, you know, like, well, I need to be invited to these things. And I think, well, no, you need to do your part too. Mm-hmm. So there's no reciprocity with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then her obsession with your life actually sounds scary, you know?
It does. It really does.
What are you eating? Where are you? Who are you texting? She's interrupting you at work. You need to get rid of her. She sounds slightly dangerous. And this idea that you are feeling guilty about that is foolish.
It's foolish. To me, it's a little more than dangerous because she can tell when you're in her neighborhood and is asking you why you haven't come to see her.
Yeah.
That's creepy up to the 100th degree. What do you
No more sharing your location with her.
Yeah. Get that. Turn that off on your phone.
When she says, I feel like you hate me, or how come you're not including me? She's giving you the opportunity to say, okay, here's why.
Here's why.
You are obsessed with my social life. You do not respect my boundaries. You don't initiate anything fun for me to do, but you expect to be included with me all the time. Mm-hmm. You text me daily. You trauma dump on me. I love that phrase, by the
way. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I feel like you are actually not my friend.
Yeah. I mean, you have
treat me the way a friend should be treated. And I have been distancing myself from you. And I'm glad that you noticed it. I'm sorry this is hurtful, but I have to take care of myself.
You have the whole list of offensives right here. You've put it all in your letter. So all you really have to do in order to create your script is rejig this letter a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's all right here, right?
Yep.
So, and then, you know, that's being completely critical, I mean, which is inappropriate, I think, this criticism. Stalking you wherever you are, that's really...
idea that you were near her apartment and her reaction was, I want to die.
What in the world?
Maybe get away from her.
Please read The Gift of Fear. That's what I will say to you. Gavin DeBecker.
Read The Gift of Fear. You know, everything in your letter is screaming, this person is not good for me.
Yeah.
Why do you allow that into your life?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have good friends, because she hasn't made a better life for herself. You can't fix that. So stop with the savior bit. You know, like, poor her. She doesn't have any friends. Let me include her. Nope.
She doesn't have friends for a reason. There is a reason. Because what she's doing to you, she's done to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You need to believe that part. That's the reason why she's not friends.
Yeah. This idea that you're doing something wrong or unkind is foolish.
Mm.
And you're saying, like, I hate when this friend walks on me, and then you're lying in front of her so she can walk on you.
Yes.
Knock it off.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Be a good friend to yourself. And once you've already experienced how nice it is to have friends who are more reciprocal, share your interests, aren't draining you of energy, trying to guilt trip you, obsessing over you. This is just really creepy. So now you know what a friendship should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not owe her, because you were friends in high school and you live in the same city.
No, you really don't. I mean, she is an energy vampire. So you really have to protect yourself from that. And Kristen's right. You don't owe her. I mean, New York is a tough place to live, but you don't owe her anything just because you're both in the same place.
Yeah.
And she's made it really difficult for you to be a friend to her. She's manipulative. She's passive aggressive. She's very toxic. She's gaslighting you in really awful ways, telling you that, you know, she wants to die or that you hate. That's so immature.
She's extraordinarily jealous of you.
I think so. Yeah.
And this idea that you're, you know, hanging out without her, and, you know, jumping on, you have a gray hair, or you're doing things without me, or you don't care about me. I mean, she's dangerous. And I think you just finally get to tell her, Sue, you've driven me away with your behavior and your passive aggressiveness, and I can't hang out with you anymore. It's not good for my mental health. And block her. Take her off that shared location. My God.
Please. Again,
you're walking right into it. And it's just, it's not a friendship. It's just, I mean, what you're describing is a horrific situation. And I'm surprised that someone who sounds so smart and so together hasn't given herself a break by saying, yeah, no, this isn't a friendship, and I'm not going to deal with her because it's bad for me.
Yeah. So you're feeling guilt, which I get, but you need to flip that around, because your friend for treating you like this feels no guilt. And if she had other friends, she wouldn't necessarily include you either. And she wouldn't feel guilty about that either.
So she hasn't. You say it in the letter that when she does get together with the two other friends, she never includes you.
There you go. And there's no guilt there. So I mean, this is really, like Kristen says, you are being a crappy friend to yourself.
Yeah.
You really are.
So knock that off. Okay? You deserve a lot better. You sound like a very intelligent and dynamic person. And I love how you've made friends in the city. And, you know, Joss said New York can be a tough place. It's also the easiest place in the world.
Yes.
If you want to meet people, join the gym on your block. There's a gym on every block. If you need more friends, there's 10,000 free events every frickin' day.
Truth.
Do it, you know? Yeah. So that's not your problem. It's her problem. And she's not going to do it because she has you.
Yeah.
You're like her prop friend. And she whips you out when she wants you to take her everywhere, but she is just so inconsiderate and so unkind to you. I'm staggered that you've put up with it this long.
I know.
So do better for yourself, and please break up with her as soon as possible.
Yes.
Today works. Doesn't
today? Today is a good day. Today is Monday. Yeah. Start a new day. Yep.
So we look forward to hear how that goes. And now I'm all worked up. If she was my daughter, I would say, you're an idiot, honey. Knock it off, you know? I wonder about this hold that some friends have on others, and this idea of, I mean, it's one of the reasons we started the podcast, Joss, the idea that you can't break up with a female friend because you're women.
Well, and you know, we grew up together. I was in her wedding. I was her bridesmaid. I was this, I was that. Even when the behavior is so horrible, you still like put up with it. You live with it for years. I mean, we've gotten letters from people who put up with this kind of behavior for years, decades.
So cut your losses and write us back as soon as you have that conversation. We're dying to hear. Jess, let us end on a lighter note.
We're
graced with an embarrassing personal problem.
It's epic. I can't tell you how much I love it.
It's really good. So why don't you read it for us?
Oh, great. Okay. Hi, ladies. I have an embarrassing personal problem that happened nearly 15 years ago, but my crime still haunts me to this day. It will take a while for me to get there, but please be patient with me. I need to confess my sins. We're here for you. We are here for you. The summer after my sophomore year in college, my roommate invited me to visit her and her family at their home in California. I was so excited. Normally, a cross-country plane ticket would have been outside my budget, but my cousin had just recently become an airline pilot, and he had gifted me with a buddy pass. The way it worked was that you'd pay a low price for the pass, about $50 at that time, book the flight you wanted, show up at the airport, and if there were still empty seats on the plane once boarding was finished, you were in. Fabulous. I made my way to California without a hitch and enjoyed my vacation. But sadly, my trip was cut short when my parents called to tell me that my grandfather had unexpectedly passed away. I told them I'd be there ASAP. I'd booked the next flight home with my trusty buddy pass and headed straight to the airport. So I did and quickly realized with mounting horror that LAX was a much busier hub than the podunk airport I'd flown out of when I left home. There was no room on my flight. I waited a few hours into the next one. Again, no luck. A third flight, then a fourth, and no joy. I had spent the whole day in the airport, and by 1 a.m., the panic had set in. It was hopeless. I bought a sad travel donut pillow, cried in the now empty terminal, and slept on the carpet while the janitorial staff vacuumed around me.
It's very sad.
At the crack of dawn, unrested, I peeled myself off the floor. Feeling suspiciously like I was coming down with something, I tried the first flight of the morning. No seats. I continued to strike out all day, desperately pinballing around the airport while a savage upper respiratory infection quickly took hold of me. My head was throbbing and I could no longer breathe out of my nose. By that evening, I was still stuck. My parents finally said enough of this shit and bought a real ticket on the next red-eye flight out of Los Angeles. I took another disco nap on the floor and at midnight, I boarded my flight to freedom and out of airport hell. By the time I had collapsed into my seat, I barely felt like a person. I was a zombie. My nose was paradoxically stuffed up and running like a faucet. Snot was dripping down my face, and my head felt like it was filled with concrete. I hadn't showered in 2 days, and I was ripe. I was more exhausted than I'd ever been in my whole life. I was delirious. Things didn't feel surreal enough already. I had spotted a Z-list celebrity as he boarded our plane, self-proclaimed psychic medium and spiritual healer Gary Spivey. If you do not know who he is, please, please look him up on Google Images.
Yeah, so I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
And most of the pictures feature him wearing a white fur hat. I'm not sure what he is, but
yes.
Yeah, okay. He's definitely noticeable. Let's say
I got you. Okay. I highly doubt the man is a psychic because if he had any precognitive abilities, he would have known that I was about to unleash what I was about to unleash on the plane, and he would have turned around, right around, and gotten on the next plane. As we took off and made our ascent, the pressure in my head became agonizing. My ears were completely blocked. I couldn't hear a thing. And after nearly 48 anxiety-filled hours of living in the airport, barely sleeping and subsisting on nothing but vending machine Cheetos and Diet Coke, my guts were in bits. I was so bloated and gassy that I probably could have floated back home like a human hot air balloon. I had to let it all out. I knew I couldn't. I shouldn't, but I had to. I glanced around nervously and squeaked out a tiny test fart. No sound, not a whiff. Was I in the clear? Yes, surely I must be that other type of human whose farts make no noise except the smell. Never mind the obvious fact that my ears were completely blocked and my nose was so plugged up that I couldn't breathe. If you blindfolded me and stuck me in front of a garbage bin full of dead rats while also blasting Metallica, I wouldn't have been able to detect a thing. But none of this occurred to me. And so, for the entire length of our cross-country flight, I confidently let it rip with reckless abandon as I stared at the back of Gary Spivey's giant white afro. Wait, that's not a hat.
He's a white guy. I can't believe it's real hair, but... You know.
It wasn't just the occasional toot here and there. It was constant. It was more like one long fart, briefly punctuated by 15-second intervals of silence. I marveled at my luck as I cracked them off. They sure didn't feel like cyan or odor. But miraculously, they seemed to be. At one point, the man beside me glanced over at me. Our eyes met, and he gave me an awkward smile. I thought, I must look so sad and tired. He probably feels bad for me. I coughed and sneezed and farted every time I sneezed or coughed, all the way across the contiguous United States. For five hours, I committed olfactory assault against innocent people and Gary Spivey while they sat trapped in a pressurized tube filled with recycled air. A waterfall of snot cascaded from my nose as I mindlessly drifted in and out of fitful sleep, obviously blasting out horrible Cheeto farts the whole time. In the end, I missed my grandpa's funeral anyway and turned an entire plane into my own makeshift gas chamber. I'm sure my story is a far cry from the most mortifying EVPs you've received, but I still think of it often and shudder to imagine what I inflicted on my fellow passengers that day. If any listeners happen to have been on an abnormally stinky red-eye flight from Los Angeles to Atlanta in the summer of 2010, I sincerely apologize. I am not, however, sorry to Gary Spivey. Rest in peace, Grandpa. Oh, honey.
Oh, my God. That is Hall of Fame.
Thinking you are top five. Top five.
Top five for sure. Top five for sure. That is a magnificent story. You know, it is funny when you want to convince yourself that your farts are odorless and nobody knows.
They're not harmless farts, people. There's no such thing.
I love that she said they didn't feel odorless.
I love that she was doing it for 5 hours straight.
Oh my God.
How many Cheetos did you eat? My God. Well,
it sounds like that's all she and Diet Coke, just, you know, so calming to the digestive tract.
So, listeners, let this be a lesson. Everyone can hear your farts, no matter what you think you're doing. Mm-hmm. People can hear them and people can smell them. So, yeah. If you have headphones on, people can hear your farts, even if you can't. Listeners, take this as a cautionary trail, as a lesson. Do not fart in public unless you are 100% sure you are alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my advice.
Right. And, you know, I mean, the conditions that she described, I understand why she just passed out and, you know, whatever. But my God. I'm glad I wasn't on that plane. All right. Send us your embarrassing personal problems and letters requesting advice to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.
Forever.